We're talking about President Trump's income tax returns here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Thursday night's debate, the president said he prepaid millions of dollars in taxes.
Over the last number of years, tens of millions of dollars I prepaid because at some point they think it's an estimate. They think I may have to pay tax. So I already prepaid it.
He said the $750 he paid in 2016 and again in 2017 was a filing fee. This first surfaced in the New York Times investigation last month. So did he shirk a civic duty, or was he just wisely working our U.S. tax code? Did you pay more income taxes than the president in those years? How do you feel? We're at 800-642-1234. Steve Rosenthal is a senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute. He studies a range of federal income tax issues, particularly business taxes. Steve, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Happy to be here.
So when you first read the New York Times reporting, the numbers, the conclusions, were you surprised?
Well, yes, I was surprised. The president has paid very few taxes for decades. I had actually been aware of his lack of taxes through the 90s and early 2000s. I actually helped the New York Times in their original stories on President Trump's $916 million of losses. I helped the New York Times sort through those. I'm a former practicing tax lawyer. I did not help them on the last story, and I had not been brought up to date as to how the president could pay zero taxes for so many decades.
Yeah, and so the Times' report found that in 10 of the 15 years prior to 2016, President Trump didn't pay any income taxes at all because he reported losing more money than he made. Is this a common thing for a business person with millions of assets, of properties, investments?
Well, no, it's not common to have a lot of assets and investments and pay no taxes. That's very uncommon. There is an outstanding question of whether the president really has that many assets, at least free and clear, because he has a sprawling business empire for sure. But we're not quite sure how much of it is his and how much of it's borrowed and how much profits it throws off. But it's quite unusual for anybody to be in business for so many years and to continue to show zero taxes year after year.
So overall net worth is very fuzzy. We can't really see that clearly?
Correct. Tax returns show income, not net worth. And so we cannot see that at all.
Why is it important for the public to see a president's or a presidential candidate's tax returns?
The public learns a lot from the president's tax returns. Like we just learned from the New York Times reporting, the public learns what the president's effective tax rate is. Is the level that he's playing fair? And then the question is, well, if it's not fair, why not? But then beyond just taxes, tax returns are a window into a person's commercial and economic activities. They show things like foreign accounts, sometimes foreign partners, source of income, nature of income, and they can often show potential conflicts, whether the president is acting for us or for himself. And because of that, you know, since Richard Nixon, every president, Ford, Carter, I'm not sure if I can get them all straight here, going forward, Bush.
We're going to hold you to it. Come on, pressure.
I'm testing my memory under pressure. But every one of them has released their tax returns, every single one of them, for every year they're in office. Because Nixon first set the precedent when his taxes were called into question. And he said to make it transparent, he was just going to share his taxes. And there were questions as to whether or not the IRS was pulling its punches when it audited Nixon's tax returns. So Nixon asked the Joint Committee on Taxation of Congress, where I worked in the 90s, not during Nixon's period, but he asked that nonpartisan group to evaluate whether he paid the right amount of taxes. Turned out he did not, and the IRS had not been assessing them properly. But from that point forward, every single president has disclosed his taxes around April 15th every year. And then the IRS automatically audits, automatically. It's in the Internal Revenue Manual. That wasn't until we reached President Trump, who refuses to share with the public his tax returns.
We're talking with Steve Rosenthal, Senior Fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute. We're talking about President Trump's tax returns, his refusal to release them while under audit. What questions do you have about the situation? Did you read about the New York Times reporting, and did you think differently about what the tax returns look like for the president and what the tax obligations are for someone of this wealth? Join in at 800-642-1234. Steve, you know, the president has repeatedly claimed, as he did in the debate last week, he can't release his returns because he's being audited. Is there something to this?
There is no reason he cannot release his returns. He is, of course, being audited. Every president is audited every single year. And so as long as President Trump remains in office, he will be under audit. And so if he continues with the stance that he will not share his tax returns while under audit, the public will not see them until after he leaves office. If he shares them at all, then at that point, it might not be a matter of any public interest. It might not matter whether the president had financial conflicts or not at that point. So he's under audit, but that hasn't stopped every other president from sharing the tax returns because that's the way the system works.
He claimed that he's prepaid millions of dollars in taxes. What do you see there? How likely is that scenario?
Very unlikely. I think it's just a red herring. We all are familiar, or many of us are, with estimated taxes. If it looks like your tax bill for the year is going to be larger than what has been withheld from your salary, maybe you had a large capital gain or something else in your life, or maybe you have some consulting income, you make estimated tax payments. Your tax liability, though, is sizable, and then your estimated payments go to the liability. Well, the president, according to the New York Times story, has negligible tax liability. Sometimes $750, oftentimes zero. The New York Times refers to line 56 of the president's tax return, the 1040. And line 56 is where you put your tax liability. For those of you who are familiar with tax returns, if you keep going down to the section following the section on tax liability, there's a section on payments, like how much estimated payment you made towards your tax liability, how much withholding you had towards your tax liability. But the New York Times story is all about President Trump's tax liability, which is negligible. And the fact that he may or may not have made estimated taxes is really irrelevant. If he had, he would have been refunded those estimated tax payments. But again, I think that's just another red herring, like the excuse that he's under audit. It's just something made up to confuse the public.
We're discussing the president's tax obligations following that investigation by the New York Times, which obtained his tax records. Steve Rosenthal is a senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center and an expert on business taxes. So why do you think the president has yet to officially release any of his tax returns? Do you think he's hiding something? And if so, what? Will the report about the president's taxes make a difference in any way in how you look at this election or how you'll vote? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Steve Rosenthal here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about President Trump's taxes here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The president said during Thursday night's debate that his accountants told him he prepaid tens of millions of dollars in taxes. He said he would like to release his returns as soon as we can, he said, but reiterated he's under audit. The president is not, as we've learned, actually barred from releasing the returns while they're under audit. Do you want to see the president's tax returns, or doesn't it matter his dealings with the IRS? What questions do you have about the president's bank account in China and how overseas accounts are handled? It's 800-642-1234. Steve Rosenthal is a senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, and he's our guide. Let's take a call now. Rob is joining us from Verona. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have one comment and then a question. My comment is that the president and a lot of advocates of the president say he's just being a good businessman by paying no taxes, and it's not his fault that the tax code is structured the way it is. But the problem, so that's fine, you can make that argument, but the problem is that when he gained power and had an opportunity to change the tax laws, instead of making them more fair for the average person, he actually made them less fair and to benefit himself and corporations by reducing taxes on them. So that's the problem. It's not that he didn't pay taxes, if those are indeed the laws. The problem is that he didn't fix it and make it more fair when he had the opportunity. And my question is if they find that the president did, in fact, violate some of the tax laws, what would be the penalty for somebody, which would be, I'm sure, considered white-collar crime? And, I mean, are we talking prison fines, or does it matter to the extent to which he violated the tax laws? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. What are the repercussions there before we get on to corporate tax revenue?
Well, Rob asked a series of great questions. I think your producer asked me before, what are the types of questions that the president's failure to disclose tax returns raised? Rob's just hit probably four or five of them. So let me pick one. And Kate, you tell me if you want me to answer more. We can go on with Rob's question for the full hour. But let me just say, the penalties. I think one of the reasons the president is reluctant to share his tax returns is because he's afraid of adjustments as to his tax liability and interest and penalties. Michael Cohn testified to Congress that the president explained he did not want to share his taxes because there'd be all these smart guys from think tanks rummaging through them and finding additional liabilities and interest and penalties that he might yet have to pay. And I think that's true, I guess I'm one of those guys who would look at the president's tax returns. But if the president had underpaid his taxes, he would owe back taxes, he would owe interest, he would owe penalties. There's a range of penalties for substantial understatement, for civil fraud, for criminal fraud. And the level of penalty turns on the egregiousness of the behavior. So just merely being aggressive and having the IRS disagree usually results in just additional taxes and interest. If there's negligence or civil fraud or any form of malfeasance or substantial omission, that usually results in extra penalties. And then if there's willful misconduct, if the president knowingly violated the tax law, then he could go to jail. There are potentially prison sentences. It's very rare for somebody to go to jail for committing a tax crime, unless it's quite knowing. And it's often hard to show the mens rea that you would need to show to send someone to jail. But I expect the president most likely would have some of his large deductions reversed, like the $916 million of losses he took in the 1990s, or the $700 million loss he took in 2009. And you can see if you just reverse that large loss, that large deduction, that would result in hundreds of millions of taxes potentially, plus interest, plus penalties, that might exceed the president's net worth.
You know, what about that argument that he's just being a good business person and in paying no taxes? He's just working the U.S. tax code and looking for the areas that you can manipulate and that you can, work the system. What do you make
that's
of that?
That's a great argument. You know, that's a great argument. And it's interesting. I see the same argument made on both the left and the right. The left said the fact the president pays so few taxes shows how corrupt our tax system is. It's broken. And the right says, the president's supporters, the fact that the president pays so few taxes shows that he's just good at using the tax code. And so they both say the same thing. I both think that's wrong to some degree. Sure, there are lots of problems in our tax code, and especially in the IRS enforcement. The IRS is woefully underfunded. But the president takes a very aggressive view of taxes. And when I look closely at what he had done in the 90s, he had opinions from lawyers saying that the positions he was taking would unlikely to be sustained if the IRS found them. If the IRS did not find them, he could get away with it. But if they found them, he'd be subject to interest and penalties. In my view, some of the tax positions he took then, and I suspect now, up to this day, are so egregious and so aggressive as to be frivolous. And I think they're more playing an audit lottery, catch me if you can, as opposed to a good faith interpretation of the tax law. That's my view.
Taking a gamble there. Steve Rosenthal is with us, senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute. We're discussing President Trump's taxes controversy and what you think at 800-642-1234. Jeff is joining us from Appleton with thoughts on this. Jeff, hi.
Hi. Good morning. I keep hearing about President Trump's taxes. Until he's charged with a crime, he's been audited how many times? He's under audit right now. Until such time as he's actually charged with a crime, this seems kind of like wasted time to me. But for the people that are complaining about his taxes and what he has paid, the problem is not the big problem is that our tax code is so complicated that there are loopholes. Our tax code needs to be simplified. It needs to be taken back to, eliminate all the deductions and simply tell people this is the rate that you pay. Done. And for all the problems of our tax code, Joe Biden's had 47 years to get it fixed, and he's done nothing.
Jeff, thank you. Steve, this is a cry for overhauling the tax code.
Well, sure, I heard Jeff, and I just flat disagree with what he said. We have an income tax, and the more you earn, the more you pay in income. And income is gross receipts less deductions. We can't just slap a fee on gross receipts. And calculating income, measuring it correctly, timing the income, determining what jurisdiction the income earned, that will inevitably be challenging and difficult. And as I explained with the answer to Rob, this is a common argument on both the left and the right, and I think it's misguided. The other aspect I think that's just wrong in the way Jeff looks at this question is, until the president is charged with a crime, then we should not care. But I think we should care. I think we should care as to whether the president is running the country for himself or for us, and the taxes would show that information, whether the president views the tax code as a shared responsibility or as a sport. And I sort of think the president has told us he views the tax code as a sport. You know, that matters. That is, we have a voluntary compliance system. Most of us, in fact, virtually all of us, try in good faith to self-assess our tax liability and send in on our 1040 an assessment of what we think we owe, and we're subject to audit. That system allows the IRS to stay out of our lives an awful lot. And because so many Americans are so in good faith complying with the system, we have one of the best tax systems, least intrusive tax authorities in the world. And that's in jeopardy, because if the public's confidence is eroded, that people in high places like the president is not following the tax rules correctly, then why should they? We turn to our president to model good behavior. We expect that, because that influences how all of us act. And whether it's modeling good tax behavior so the rest of us voluntarily comply, or modeling good pandemic behavior, wearing a mask, socially distancing, so the rest of us also look to that behavior and comport ourselves in the same way. The president is our leader, and we expect more from him.
Steve, let me ask you this, though. What type of business expenses do you think people should be allowed to write off on their taxes?
As I said earlier, Kate, we have an income tax. You look to the gross receipts, gross income coming in, And then we allow deductions against that gross income to determine your net taxable income. And so it sometimes becomes challenging to determine what deductions we should allow and not. Like, what would be personal versus business?
Mm-hmm.
The president reportedly deducted $70,000 for hairstyling. Was that truly a business expense, or was it a personal expense? And how would the IRS feel about that? That's sort of small potatoes, some of the personal expenses that a business owner might be able to run through a business. What's larger, in my view, is when people start making up large amounts of losses that could be used as a deduction. And that's sort of where I'm most concerned with the president, when we see large losses in the hundreds of millions of dollars that wipe out any taxable income.
We're unpacking it with Steve Rosenthal of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, and we'll be back after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the key takeaways from the New York Times' investigation into President Trump's federal taxes while in office. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Times found more than 200 companies, lobbying groups, and foreign governments did business with and benefited from work with the president's businesses. And the Times also identified public philanthropic promises that appear either to have been exaggerated or never materialized. What do you think of the latest reporting over the president's charitable commitments? We're at 800-642-1234. Steve Rosenthal is a senior fellow at the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, and he's our guide. Well, let's get some more questions in here, coming in from Kay in Eau Claire with questions. Hi, Kay. Go ahead.
Hello. My belief is that this president corrupts everything he touches. And the tax and audit system is just one more example of how he's cheating our country and its people. And I guess I'm just wondering, what is the year that he last did a filing? Was that 2009? You mentioned that date at some point. And what years are under audit? Are there any limits to how long, the length of time it takes to complete an audit? And if anyone is considering that, our thought is that everybody, all the nominees to Congress and the presidency, should have to reveal their taxes as part of the nomination process, even before they're nominated to be in these positions of power. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
All right, Kay, thank you so much. And Steve, did you get all that?
Oh, sure. I can be the tax answer guy today because I've thought about all of these questions. I testified last year when the Democrats retook the House of Representatives. They prepared legislation along the lines that Kay suggested to require every president and every candidate for the presidency to disclose 10 years of tax returns during the campaign and then afterwards. And historically, as I said before, presidents from Nixon on only disclosed their taxes after they took office. And that was just a norm that we all depended upon. But President Trump rejects that norm. And so the Congress moved down the path of requiring all presidents and candidates for office to release their taxes. It's part of now H.R. 1. Now, Kay also asks a good question of what years are under audit for the president. And for sure, every year while the president is in office, 2017, 18, and 19, say, when he files a tax return, that will be automatically placed under audit. And the 19 return with extensions would have been due earlier in the month, October 15th. But it takes a little while for the IRS even to realize a return's been filed to get an audit underway. When the president took office, his lawyers actually explained during the campaign that his tax returns from 2009 forward were open for audit. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and of course now we have 16 and 17, and the IRS is automatically auditing those. There is a procedure where the IRS automatically audits, and the Internal Revenue Manual tells you what the IRS looks at and where the file is kept and the like. We don't know if all of the earlier audits were combined into one. We do know that from 2009 forward, they're still under audit. Now, having an audit open for over a decade, as President's 2009 tax return has still been open, and that's a year that the New York Times just reported has a $700 million loss that he carried back and carried forward to wipe out a lot of tax liability, that suggests something is amiss. But more importantly, the length of time is really confounding. Normally, an IRS audit will take 2-3 years. If it's complicated, 4-6 years. I've worked in practice for many years. I've seen tax from all sorts of different angles. I have not seen a tax return for an individual open for as many years as the president has opened it. And we're not quite sure why. There separately is a proceeding that the IRS Ways and Means Chairman Neal has tried to demand from the IRS information on that audit. Oh, is the IRS looking at the president and auditing fairly and impartially? And why is it taking so long? We don't know the answer to the question. And the president continues to fight in court to refuse to answer Chairman Neal's question. So there's all sorts of different fronts on this tax return question for President Trump. And I think that we will not learn of them, at least before the next election. If President Trump is reelected, we may not learn any of the answers until after he leaves office in another 4 years. It's hard to say.
Kay, thank you for the call. Let's go to Randy now in Madison with a question. Hi, Randy.
Hi. And I'm grateful to Kay for eliciting that answer, because that I was very curious about a lot of those things. However, the reason I called is that I just wanted to float the theory that I'm mainly seeing from inference. As a friend said, I think Donald Trump did not want people to see that he was not a billionaire, probably very, very short of being a billionaire. And that would be the if he had posted his taxes, that would be the first lie that would have come to light, and it would have been a huge one.
So the president isn't as wealthy as he claims to be. Do you see anything into that, Steve?
Yes. So the taxes give a glimpse of a person's financial or commercial success or viability. They're operational, year by year, income or loss. They're not total assets. But what we can say, and I've seen the tax return and I've seen a lot of public filings of the SEC, was that President Trump lost tens of millions of dollars, adding to hundreds of millions of dollars over the 90s and apparently often in the 2000s. And so one question in my mind is whether the president is just a very poor businessman. He's been very successful at branding The Apprentice, keeping his name licensed and branded. He generates a fair amount of profits, and especially in the early 2000s, with those business activities. But as far as running a business, whether it's a casino, a golf course, a building, it seems like he loses year after year. At least the tax returns reflect a whole bunch of losses. Now, there are three explanations for why the tax returns show a whole bunch of losses. One is the president just is a big loser. He just loses at everything he touches. Another is that the president inflates his losses for tax purposes. And maybe a third explanation is that the president has wandered into or found a tax gold, a way of exploiting the tax rules and loopholes along the lines Jeff suggested that allows him to be smart and not pay taxes at all. It's hard for me to say without more information which of those three explanations are legitimate. I don't think the third, in my 30 years of practice experience, I have not seen somebody sustain losses year after year after year as much as the president reportedly has sustained losses. We just don't see that very often.
We're talking with Steve Rosenthal, senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, looking at the president's tax situation and taking your questions about it at 800-642-1234. Steve, another big revelation from the Times reporting is that in 2016, he was short on cash, but he got a mysterious infusion of cash, $21 million from Trump Las Vegas sales and marketing, which had little previous income. Is that a red flag there?
You know, it's really hard to say the source of income or the nature of income. I would need to know an awful lot more. And one of the real challenges with President Trump's taxes and his financial picture is the Trump Organization is not just one enterprise. It's 500 LLCs and businesses and operations scattered across the world. And oftentimes they have income from, you know, sources that cannot be identified easily, income from other entities and the like. Sometimes the president points to his financial disclosures, as every president must file with both as a candidate and then later in office, which is distinct from a tax return obligation. And he says, well, you can learn everything there. And there, if anyone were interested, they could find all 500 of his enterprises, but you can't find much else. Those financials do not give the kind of detail that a tax return gives you. They don't give you, for instance, precise income. They don't tell you whether losses are being generated. They don't tell you, they don't look through to find out what types of accounts or relationships your businesses might yet have. Like last week, or the New York Times reported that they stumbled across a Chinese bank account.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, one of the president's LLCs apparently filed the forms with the IRS that are required when you own or control a foreign account. And so that would not have shown up on his financials, but that would have shown up on his tax return. And so that raises a lot of questions, especially as we try to sort through between Biden and Trump, who's really getting money from China. You know, Vice President Trump has no income reported from China or any business entities that might have had income from China. And so it's hard to see Vice President Biden having collected money from China unless he's like breaking a whole bunch of tax laws and just concealing things incredibly well. President Trump, on the other hand, I think, according to New York Times reporting, does at least have one bank account in China. And we'd want to know more information about that bank account, as well as more information of what that $21 million is about. But the tax returns would give us a roadmap to ask for more information. And, you know, I think in part the president doesn't want to release tax returns because he doesn't want to answer more questions.
Steve Rosenthal is our roadmap this hour, senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, where he focuses on business taxes. The president has repeatedly asserted that the documents New York Times has are false. What do you think? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Steve Rosenthal here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Steve Rosenthal of the Urban Institute as we look at what's been uncovered about the president's taxes and the tax code that reportedly allowed the president to pay nothing in taxes in 10 of the previous 15 years. Going back to the phones now with more questions, Chris is joining us from Racine. Hi, Chris. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment, and that is I don't see how anyone who pays less than someone who makes $20,000 a year can call themselves a millionaire. That sounds poor to me. And my question is, I heard that he owes $400 million. To which country does he owe $400 million? Russia? China?
Who does he owe money to is what Chris is asking, Steve.
Chris asks a good question, and we cannot tell from tax returns. Tax returns will tell you the amount of money you yet owe and the interest you might yet pay, but it typically does not tell you to whom you owe the money. It will tell you if you have foreign bank accounts who owes you money, but typically does not tell you to whom you owe money. The president's loans also, according to the president, are secured in many instances or in some instances by real property, like his buildings, and those might be commercial lenders. The president has ran through lenders in the 90s. There are very few people willing to loan money to him anymore, and because he defaulted so frequently. Deutsche Bank was one of the few commercial institutions that would loan money to him. The president defaulted on loans from public bondholders, securities holders. He once tried to raise money from the public, and he defaulted there. And so I'm not sure the president has a lot of choices from where to borrow money, but we're not quite sure where he is borrowing.
He also paid thousands of dollars to countries like India. He paid thousands of dollars to the Philippines. Do we know anything there about what he was paying toward?
Taxes.
Okay.
On your tax return, you are required to show your foreign source income, and you are allowed a U.S. tax credit for any taxes paid to a foreign country. And so I don't know whether we know the operations in India and Philippines and China that gave rise to the income and gave rise to the tax liability abroad, but the president properly claimed a U.S. tax credit for whatever taxes he paid abroad. Ironically, he apparently paid more abroad than he paid at home, which raises other questions.
Let's bring in Logan in Green Bay with a question. Hi, Logan.
Hi. Thanks. To Mr. Rosenthal, do you think the president's concealment of his tax record are related to a violation of campaign finance laws when he paid two women for the silence?
Logan asked the question of whether or not the president might have violated campaign finance laws by paying women for their silence with respect to purported affairs. And the tax returns might yet provide information to document deductions that the president took, which might include payoffs to, say, the National Enquirer or to women or whatever, to avoid damaging information from emerging. But I don't think we've seen that yet. In the New York Times story, they said they could not find any payments reflected on his business tax returns, at least that they looked for. And so I think it would take a lot more exploration, Logan, to see whether or not he claimed a deduction for those payments.
Steve, one of the president's biggest accomplishments in office has been the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which reformed the tax code. Who did this law benefit?
Well, Kate, you're returning to Rob's question at the start, and he was quite skeptical about that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I've written extensively on it, and the chief beneficiaries were corporations and rich Americans. And you can argue that that is helpful, that if we give tax cuts to corporations and rich Americans and businesses, they may yet employ more workers. And that was the argument, that investment would go up and worker salary would go up and the like. I never saw any of that happening. And then we had the pandemic and everything collapsed. So in my view, it was an experiment that we never saw to the end. But Rob also asked the question about adding loopholes to the code. And yes, that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act added, for instance, an extra 20% deduction for pass-through businesses that include LLCs, and the President Trump has 500 of those. And so I expect that the president benefited from that extra loophole that Congress added as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And sometimes you stop and ask, and Jeff properly asked, well, the tax code is too complicated. And yes, the tax code is complicated. A lot of the complexity stem from the fact the world is complicated. But sometimes Congress makes things worse, like the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, by adding extra loopholes and extra deductions just based on the form of a business. If you're in an LLC, we're going to give you an extra 20% deduction. You know, why favor one form of business over another? We ought to try to simplify, and I've written and testified to the U.S. Senate about ways to simplify the tax code so we treat business enterprises similarly. And so from a tax policy standpoint, I like simplification, but we're moving farther away rather than closer.
We're talking with Steve Rosenthal, Senior Fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, and looking at President Trump's tax statements, his refusal to release his tax returns while under audit. You know, Steve, looking at the corporate tax revenue in 2018 falling by billions upon billions of dollars, and I'm just wondering, you know, how could Amazon pay nothing in corporate tax revenue, or FedEx, or Chevron for that matter? And then, you know, make the connection there. How does the president benefit from huge corporate tax cuts in recent years?
Well, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act slashed the corporate tax rate to 35 to 21%, very, very low. But still, some companies paid zero taxes, like Amazon and the like. Even with a low rate, there wasn't much of a tax base, tax income reported, income base to pay taxes on it. And that largely was attributable to things like business write-offs and executive compensation and a variety of other tax planning techniques, some of which are legitimate and some of which are not. As a general proposition, and I've written about this, I'm actually presenting a paper at NYU this afternoon. If someone wanted to Google my name, they could even listen to the presentation, as to who benefits when we slash corporate tax rates. And I find that foreigners and rich Americans benefit the most. They hold the largest chunk of U.S. stock. Foreigners hold 40%, and rich Americans own an extra 40% as well, something of that sort. In any event, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act benefited the rich, at least in corporations. President Trump does not have corporations, and he has very little public traded stock. And so his stock, the little he had, may have gone up, but that would not have benefited him much. Congress also added a loophole for non-corporate businesses, the so-called pass-through businesses, to cut their taxes by 20%. President Trump has 500 of those. And so while President Trump did not benefit directly from the corporate tax cuts, he benefited from the non-corporate business tax cuts.
So as we wrap up here, what changes do you think our country needs to make to, you know, make the way it pay, making the tax system and how people pay in, how businesses pay in, making that more equitable?
Well, to start, I think Congress should enact H.R. 1 just to require presidents to disclose their taxes when they run for office and when they're in office, to help all of us sort through the nature of their income, the level of their tax liability, the conflicts that they might yet have. For sure, that makes a lot of sense. But then beyond that, as I said earlier, we look to the president to model behavior for the rest of us. And we look to the president in a voluntary tax system to self-assess, not to play hide and seek, to self-assess. And there, I think the president is falling short. And just as I would hope the president would model better tax behavior, I'd hope he'd model better pandemic behavior and other forms of model and role-playing that we'd like to see from him. That's really important.
Steve, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you.
Steve Rosenthal, Senior Fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute, where he researches, speaks, and writes on a range of federal income tax issues. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.